This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Enjoying the hilarity in the studio tonight. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Dean.
Hey, Matt. How are you tonight?
I'm rather good. Now, last week we heard some of the action from AIDS 2016, the 21st International AIDS Conference in Durban, South Africa. This week we're taking a look at the conference from an Australian viewpoint.
What did the conference look like from an Australian viewpoint?
Where is the Asia-Pacific region situated in the fight against HIV and AIDS?
Is the goal of ending AIDS by 2030 still realistic? From Durban in South Africa tonight, we hear from Daryl O'Donnell, CEO of AFAO, Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations. Here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
The Asia-Pacific epidemic, the Asia epidemic in particular, is enormous. And I think, you know, we all know of the incredible, you know, extraordinary and horrifying epidemic in Africa and sub-Saharan Africa. But I think that's kind of obscured just the scale of need and the scale of urgency that we see in the Asia region.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Well, we're starting off with some good news for the LGBT community in, wait for it, Uganda.
What?
Gasp.
Yes, you heard that correctly, that Uganda.
Wow. So, do tell.
Yes, well, Uganda will have its first queer film festival premiere in the capital city of Kampala this December.
How cool is that?
Can you believe it? So now we're going to work on the assumption that it will actually go ahead.
Yeah, still a bit of time.
Yeah, let's be positive here. So the Queer Kampala International Film Festival, or QKIF, has been organised by a group of young activists and film professionals. And it will span 3 days in December and feature film premieres, artist talks, panel discussions and parties that focus squarely on queer-themed films and videos from both Uganda and around the world.
And part of their mission is also going to be to encourage the professional development of queer filmmakers and video artists in Eastern Africa so that they can actually start to tell more of their stories and get the word of acceptance out in their communities.
What a fantastic initiative. And even better, they're asking for interested parties to submit entries via their website. So if you're a budding filmmaker, go to www.queerkif.com and tell them all about your work, and I look forward to our listeners winning an award at the inaugural festival. How cool would that be? We've got some more comments about award winning later on in the show.
Paul, in Italy.
A bit closer to home, the award winning, yes. Moving on to Italy, same-sex civil unions have finally started in that country.
Hooray!
Italy has been accused of dragging its feet on same-sex rights. The European Court of Human Rights upheld complaints about discrimination by same-sex couples who currently had no legal rights in Italy.
And can I tell you, when we put this on the Facebook page in the week and out on Twitter, it went wild. Lots of support for Italians, lots of Italians in Melbourne, I guess, and Australia. But yeah, went wild. Everybody giving it the thumbs up, the heart symbol, the whole lot.
It's not all particularly good. Well, it's mainly good news, but there's a little sting. Same-sex marriages are still off the table, and that's after torturous negotiations through the parliament that managed to pass the legislation to get same-sex civil unions. The country's new law takes effect despite strong opposition from the Catholic Church.
Really? In Italy?
There's a surprise.
Shocking.
They did have to give in to one thing for the Catholic Church. That was adoption rights have been stripped out of the legislation.
Which is quite... which happens in some countries where they try and put it together and it's just kind of...
It's a one step too far
type thing. Yeah. Who's looking after the children?
Something is better than nothing, I suppose. Yeah. Now, last week we discussed the spike in business for male sex workers at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. But then The other thing that happened last week is the 28th Cleveland Pride, including the parade and all other festivities, was cancelled.
So am I getting this right, that the Republican convention left town and therefore they couldn't have a pride parade? Is that...
No,
it's not quite. Am I drawing a long bow?
No, it's, well, the people have been a bit confused. So it's been running since 1989, and the CEO of Cleveland Pride said that a changing social climate in the city has led to the surprise cancellation.
What does that mean?
Well, he did elaborate. So Cleveland Pride did not have enough time to engage in the development of awareness programs and training that we believe is critical in today's environment. Therefore, we regretfully cancelled our 28th annual parade, rally and festival this year.
Are you saying the gays couldn't get their act together?
Well, it's a bit odd. And LGBT advocates and allies have been outraged about the cancellation due to these very vague security concerns. So they're now planning another event on the same day, on the August 13th. Now, Cleveland is actually a reasonably progressive city. The mayor has officially signed a measure into law that allows trans people to use the bathroom or locker room that they like in Cleveland. And in 2014, they hosted the Gay Games. So it's a bit odd. Yeah, people are a bit, you know, something in the milk ain't clean, basically.
A bit more progress in Egypt, of all places, where the Grand Mufti has said that while homosexuality is not accepted in Islam, gay people are not second-class humans. So in Sunni Islam, the Grand Mufti is the highest official of religious law and often cited as the most valuable source of information on how to practically apply Islamic law.
So he offers fatwas, which are legal opinions, I think, and edicts, is that what it is? Islamic law, and assists judges in deciding cases. Recommendations are not binding in criminal courts. What did he say, Matt?
His name is Shawki Alam, and he's known as a moderate. He has described openness and cooperation with people of other faiths as the two pillars of moderate Islam, something he says extends to homosexuality. This is quite actually radical for that particular area.
It's quite a positive step forward.
It is nice, actually. Yeah, I mean, he says, even if we see homosexuality as a religious sin, that doesn't give anyone the right to injure someone else. Every person is equally sacrosanct. Lovely.
And in brief, in the USA, the Navy is set to name a ship after gay rights icon and San Francisco politician Harvey Milk.
In India, trans people will soon be categorised as third gender and be eligible for welfare benefits. They will also be able to choose their gender, but only after undergoing gender reassignment surgery.
The first ever same-sex civil union took place in the Isle of Man, following a recent change in legislation.
And we've got a big announcement coming up in just a few minutes' time, but right now, that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
We've got some great news to announce, because during the week, the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia announced the finalists for their awards each year. And now there's over 200 community radio stations around Australia, which is just enormous. It's one of the biggest community radio networks in the world.
It's very competitive.
Very competitive, because if you think even Joy has about 75 shows, multiply that by 200, I can't do the maths. But in the category of excellence in spoken word news and current affairs programming, we got up as a finalist.
We did.
We are, in fact, one of only four shows selected in the finalists for this year's awards. Oh, thank you, crowd. Love it. Love it.
That's all our adoring fans in between posting congratulations on Facebook for us. And we are the only show on Joy to get a nomination this year.
We are, which is a bit unusual because we usually have quite a few shows up. But I think it's also a testament for Joy in terms of such a commitment to news and current affairs for our community. We now have a nightly news and current affairs show. We have a world news and current affairs show. We have specialist shows that delve into the spoken words of our community. So we are thrilled with that. Thank you. We had lots of messages on Facebook. Stuart says, congratulations, guys. Well-deserved nomination. Hoffler says the Orlando show was outstanding in my viewpoint, thoughtful, factual, and always insightful. Congratulations. So thank you for that feedback.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Tonight we're talking all things AIDS 2016 from Durban, South Africa, and wanted to take a look at it from our own region's point of view and HIV in Asia and the Pacific. Now, it's estimated the number of people living with HIV in our region is just under 5 million. That's a lot more than I thought. Like, we always hear the big numbers out of Africa, but for Asia-Pacific, 5 million. And 160,000 of these are children younger than 15.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's not a good statistic. And it says a lot about the education in the area, I'd say. It needs a bit of help.
Indeed. And there are some populations of concern that are being targeted in this fight, particularly men who have sex with men, sex workers and injecting drug users. But there has been some progress made in Oceania and Southeast Asia regarding new infections of HIV, so some reductions there.
That's a good point. In countries like, say, Thailand, in Thailand in 1991, the government adopted a strategy to combat the disease, and in recent years, the number of new infections has been declining. In Indonesia, the government of Indonesia has signified its continued commitment to fighting HIV/AIDS. When it budgeted $13 million to HIV/AIDS programs, which was an increase of 40% over previous years. But however, since then, the national budget has stagnated. So it's very up and down in different countries in Southeast Asia.
And tonight we're going to speak more about the AIDS 2016 conference.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Daryl O'Donnell is the head of Australia's peak AIDS organisation, AFAO, the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, and he was a participant in the conference in South Africa. And we started by asking Daryl what his overall experience of the 21st International AIDS Conference was.
Oh, look, Matt, it's an extraordinary conference. It's it's a week with 2 days of pre-meetings, 17,000 people, 158 sessions. It's just the scale of this thing is kind of hard to imagine until you're actually right in the middle of it. And it's probably unique as a conference because it brings together everyone from your laboratory, benchtop scientists through to activists and your politicians and your media and your celebrities and community organisations. Like, it's quite extraordinary in terms of bringing together all of those people who, for all of their differences, are actually kind of working together to try and, battle this epidemic.
As the peak body for HIV and AIDS in Australia, what were your key outtakes for the conference for Australia?
For me, a big focus of my time at the conference was on actually the question of HIV financing, less so for Australia but for the region. So really, the question of, how can countries actually sustain the level of investment they need to? How can we as community, as advocates, how can we actually demand of our governments and of governments in the region that they actually invest in the kinds of responses we need in order to provide us with treatment, in order to allow us to mobilise, in order to provide education. So a lot of my focus was around this question of making sure that governments here in Australia, but actually also throughout the Asia-Pacific region, that governments are actually investing so that our communities can actually, work together to, work towards progress in battling the epidemic.
Talking about the region, because you have quite a few programs that you work on throughout the region, where does the Asia-Pacific region sit in regards, in relation to the rest of the world in terms of HIV and AIDS?
Look, the Asia-Pacific epidemic, the Asia epidemic in particular, is enormous. And I think, we all know of the incredible, extraordinary and horrifying epidemic in Africa and sub-Saharan Africa. But I think that's kind of obscured just the scale of need and the scale of urgency that we see in the Asia region. Just in the last year, in the last 12 months, we saw 180,000 people die from AIDS in the Asia region. And every one of those people that died for want of access to treatment that we know can actually keep them well and keep them alive. And so there's just unimaginable need in the region, both for access to life-saving treatment, but also for basic prevention, for the basic kinds of supports that we've enjoyed in Australia that allow us as, gay communities, as communities of people who inject drugs or as sex workers, as Aboriginal people, whatever it is, but that have allowed us in Australia to get together, to work together, to educate each other and to stay safe.
Daryl O'Donnell from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations there. Coming up, Daryl brings us the latest learnings on PrEP and home testing for Australia from the World's AIDS Conference.
Hey, this is Delta Goodrum and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
And a couple of more messages coming in from one of our regulars, 317. Great to see a young man like Nick Hollis write about this conference as well. Very significant for a young Gen Y who has his own story. Love the show. Thanks for that. And indeed, young people comes up in the next part of our interview with Daryl O'Donnell from AFEO. It was a big focus for the conference. Another message in. Congratulations, guys. Take a bow and lots of kisses. Thank you. And on Facebook, Savali says, well done. Thank you, Savali. Tonight we are talking AIDS 2016 and looking at it from an Australian perspective.
One of the more recent medical breakthroughs in the fight against HIV has been PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. We asked Daryl how PrEP, which is often spoken about as a miracle drug, was being seen at AIDS 2016.
Look, there is so much discussion still about PrEP everywhere here and overseas. And yes, it was a huge focus for the conference. I'm not sure that there was so much that was revelatory at the conference, that was new and earth-shattering. Because, the news that PrEP is effective, that it works, and it works extraordinarily well, like better than we could have hoped for, a new prevention option to work. That news has kind of been with us for a couple of years now, but the conference just underscored just how powerfully effective this is as a prevention tool. So there was lots of discussion of it about scale up and roll out in various countries. And for us in Australia, we've still got, we're doing okay in terms of, people are able to, personally import PrEP if they wish to, based on a script from their doctor, or they might want to enroll in one of the trials that's running in some of the larger states, including in Victoria and New South Wales and ACT and Queensland. But we still need access to PrEP on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. We need for subsidised access from the Australian government, because it's only at that level that GAMIN and others are going to have the kind of access we need in order for this to be a truly viable option alongside, as an alternative to condoms or even addition to condoms. That's what we need in order to get PrEP at scale in Australia.
And home testing is also starting to be talked about in Australia. There are other countries that are, I guess, well ahead of us on this one. Are there any learnings from the conference for Australia in terms of the home testing options?
Look, I think there is an enormous task for us to get access to HIV self-testing in Australia, to home testing. We know that we really do ask a lot of ourselves as gay men in terms of, for our own benefit, for the benefit of our communities, testing twice a year, up to four times a year, depending on how much fun we're having. That's really important for all of us. But it is a huge ask, and we need to make testing as easy as possible. There's some really important data out from Australia from a study called the Fourth Study that's been running over the last couple of years, and we know from that when people have access to home tests, that what they do is they actually add that to their existing clinical practice. So they might still see their doctor a couple of times a year, but they'll supplement that with a couple of home tests as well. And so it's incredibly important in terms of making it possible for people to sort of, to get to that sort of that testing every once a quarter that we're asking for. But we just don't have the access we need in Australia yet. So a big task for AFEO is, in the next 6 months is really to look at, what's it going to take for us to get one of the products overseas that's been looked at, that's acceptable to community, that works well. What do we need to do to get that available in Australia and to make that happen?
One of the recurring themes in the program was around youth and the importance of young people in being the ones who will potentially see the end of AIDS and perhaps even HIV. What was your outtake in terms of the next generation?
Yeah, look, I think that there was a focus on young people. There should be a focus on young people. Even if we look at, we've had an epidemic in Australia now for 35 years, and I think the generational differences are just so extraordinarily acute. We've got lots of people who have HIV who are now aging with HIV, but the task for us is to make sure that whatever we've achieved to date, we don't assume that that's going to work for the next generation. Every generation will have new experiences of sex, of sexuality, of drug use, of community, of relationships, and we can't impose as people from one generation, our assumptions on another, and that was really a huge part of the conference, just making sure that we're listening and we're talking to and we're empowering young people to design and craft the programs that will work for them, and in the digital age, in the digital space, there's no better example of why we need young people to be leading the kinds of responses that are going to work for them.
There is still a stated target to see the end of AIDS by 2030. Is that still realistic?
I'm not sure globally. I think targets are really important and actually very helpful in terms of, forcing us all to stop, and gasp for breath at, gee whiz, could we really achieve this? And to be visionary and to be ambitious in our thinking, and then to ask the really hard question of, if we're going to go for this, what would it take? I think the problem with the global goal, though, is, what it will take is for governments to invest, and governments to invest seriously in ending AIDS. Can it be done? Absolutely it can. We've got all of the technology. We've got all of the know-how we need. Communities are poised to actually deliver that goal. What I'm not convinced of is that we have the strength of will, the strength of political vision from governments that will see the levels of investment needed to end this. So there's no, we can provide treatment to all of those who need it, and we're making good progress, but there's a long way to go. One of the things about the Durban conference that was quite remarkable was it wasn't the first time the conference had been at Durban. It was the second time. And the first time it had been there was in 2000. And when it was first there, there were 1 million people globally who had access to HIV treatment. This time, there were 17 million globally who had access to HIV treatment. So, in 15, 16 years, that's remarkable progress. But we should celebrate that progress. But it still means that there are 17 million people today in the world that don't have access to HIV treatment. And every one of those people needs access and should have access. And without access, is at risk of progressing to AIDS and AIDS illness and AIDS death. And every one of those deaths will be a preventable death. So we know what to do. I think, in Australia, we have made incredible progress. We've shown that, if we can provide people with access to healthcare, if we can provide people with access to treatment, if we can educate ourselves and each other about the epidemic, we can make remarkable gains. We've still got a massive job to do, but we have made some good progress in preventing the horror of illness and death we saw in the earlier years in Australia. But we've got a long way to go to achieve that globally.
That's Daryl O'Donnell from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, AFAO, doing great work. And they actually have a number of projects that they work on right throughout the region, as we mentioned there. Indeed, we've spoken about their work in Thailand before, their work with APCOM in Thailand, and throughout the region as well. One of the interesting things there is home testing. So I guess we've heard about PrEP for a long time, but home testing is still quite new. It's not here yet, but it's currently being going through the pharmaceutical processes here in Australia. Do you think it's a good thing?
I think it's an excellent thing, and I think it's interesting.
It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
It is a bit, and I think Daryl really sums it up when he talks about how home testing doesn't replace visits to the doctor in most cases. It complements it. So people will often, visit their physician or their GP fairly regularly. It's just that home testing is something else that they can utilise, another tool in their arsenal, so to speak.
And really, it's no different to, in terms of the concept, no difference to a pregnancy test, which is just so, mainstream, so nothing new about it in terms of what the technology is. So
yeah, totally. I mean, but I read an article recently about about the opposition to home pregnancy tests in the early 70s, and there were arguments that distraught young women were going to potentially trigger warning, jump off bridges, in distress at finding that they were pregnant, and so on and so forth, and that this needed to be something that people were told in the privacy of a doctor's office, and with all the support and security required, and so on and so forth. And now the concept that people have to go to a doctor to do a pregnancy test when they could just do it at home is just It's absurd. So I think it is something that is inevitable. It is a shame that we're a bit behind other countries, although we do say that about Australia quite a lot on this show, you know, and that other countries have home testing and it seems to be ticking along quite nicely. But hopefully we get it sooner rather than later.
Well, another one that you mentioned we're behind, PrEP is one that we're behind. As much as you mentioned, you can get it with a prescription from overseas, but it's not yet easily accessible in Australia. There's a number of trials in a couple of states and they're of a reasonable size, so that's positive, but the government has not yet taken this step to bring in what everybody, you know, Daryl was saying there, it's exceeded everyone's expectations. You know, nobody thought it would be this effective.
It's amazing.
Whilst it's not the be-all and end-all, it is a key part of the many tools that are available to end AIDS and bring an end to HIV.
There are challenges. I mean, there are issues with ongoing issues with bone density. I've been told that there
I've seen counter arguments to that one as well. Read counter arguments that it's that there's been nothing proven in that area. So, and I guess one of the things being a new drug, long term side effects can't yet be seen. It will take time for them to come through. And this happened when the first round of antiretrovirals came onto the market as well. So there is some time needed to see what long-term implications are. But, gee, if we can take this big step, then surely we can overcome some of those changes as well.
It's important to understand that all medications have side effects. I mean, even aspirin has a side effect. And in this case, I think it is safe to say that the benefits of PrEP way outweigh any potential negatives. It's a shame that accessing PrEP and accessing Truvada in Australia without a prescription, it's several thousand dollars. So, yeah, it could be the money is an issue for the government. Who can say? Hopefully, again, we do start to catch up with the rest of the world and it becomes available to people in Australia.
Now, one of the questions I did want to ask Daryl, but just sort of stopped short, you know, stopped being parochial, was, you know, Melbourne was the last host of this conference and it was a fantastic event and we were broadcasting live and, you know, we provided a whole lot of audio for other radio stations around the world. So we were really involved in it. I wanted to ask him if South Africa was better or Melbourne, but I didn't.
Well, were they,
is that good?
Were they going to be nominated for any Community Broadcasting Association of South Africa awards?
So
I think not.
Do we actually know, though, if any communication organisation in South Africa has actually picked it up? I mean, that would be a legitimate question.
I don't know. We have had a message in on the award front from Florence. Thank you, Florence. You guys are amongst my favourite shows on Joy. My sister, who is an educator, uses your content for her students as a point of reference. Congratulations on the award. Thank you so much. And wow, somebody's using us to educate people. That's slightly scary.
The children are the future.
On Facebook as well, Shannon, who is a former presenter on this show. We've had about 13 presenters over the years. Bloody amazing, she says. Well done to all of you. Isn't that? I think I got her accent. Bloody amazing.
Sorry, which country was that supposed to be?
Yeah, no, she's a Kiwi, but didn't quite get that one.
Shannon won't be listening anymore. Sorry, Shannon.
This is World Wide Wave. We're talking all things AIDS 2016, the World AIDS Conference in South Africa.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
New to Joy Podcasts, Pete shares news of the Warriors of Wine event on Cravings. The Informer discussed the Hands Off Aboriginal Kids campaign with an exploration of Indigenous youth in detention.
Adam and Alastair bring you a look back at the week that was in LGBT news on QNN.
Dean talks to Walkie Award-winning journalist and author Joe Chandler on Word for Word. And rub-a-dub-dub, it's four men in a tub as the woods meet Melbourne Rubber Man 2016.
That's going to be a good podcast. Did you know we are one of the most downloaded community radio stations in Australia? So last month I saw the figures like 38,000 downloads, which is just tremendous.
It is wonderful because the whole idea of Joy is that people be able to access it who may not have access to the LGBT community in any other way.
Indeed. And one of our followers on Facebook, Kun, is very good at sharing that to all of his networks. In fact, our latest podcasts are up there as well. Indonesia, Brexit and Samoa are all there. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and via iTunes. You can share them with your Facebook followers today.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
Joy 94.9, this is World Wide Wave and the lead show in your new Tuesday night lineup here on Joy. So we've got a new grid starting tonight.
Oh, do tell.
Listen to this lineup. Following us is Beyond the Binary, and in one of the coming weeks we'll get them in to have a talk and tell us a bit more about their show. A brand new show at 9 o'clock, Our House, David, Paul and Russ, and that's the real estate show. So you can explore everything to do with real estate in our communities. They're going to bring in specialised guests and give tips and all those sorts of things about houses and you know, they're going to have a segment called Gayborhood of the Week.
That is such a great idea with all the housing issues that are happening in Melbourne and, in fact, all over Australia now. Very timely.
And then 10 o'clock, Triple Bypass, which is going to improve buy visibility in our community. 11 o'clock, Been There, Done That, with Chris Gordon and Phil exploring grey power. Now, they've been on the grid for quite a while, but they're joining the Tuesday night lineup.
Wonderful show.
Normally, that's about where things stop, but no. No,
but wait,
not on Tuesday
there's
night.
More.
There's more. Midnight, a new show. Get Loud, which is a rock show. And 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, Our Mosh Pit with JJ, which is profiling various metal, hardcore, punk and scene bands.
You probably thought you'd never hear Slayer on Joy. Well, tonight you're going to be proven wrong.
It is coming. This is Joy 94.9's new Tuesday night lineup.
Joy 94.9.
Now, just prior to the AIDS 2016 conference, a collective of HIV organisations in Australia announced the end of AIDS in Australia, that it was no longer a death sentence. We asked Daryl if there was a danger that people would think HIV was no longer an issue too.
Yeah, look, maybe. I think there is a risk of that, and you know, we should be worried about that. But I think the bigger risk is that we never tackle that. You know, that 35 years in, we've got to expect and we've got to want for people to understand the difference between HIV and AIDS, and we've got to have a contemporary understanding of the epidemic. And the epidemic in Australia is an epidemic of HIV, and it's a very serious epidemic, and it's a very serious infection. People do not want to be getting HIV, and for people who have HIV, you know, there's work involved and there's an impact. But I don't think we're well served by not updating the story in Australia. And I think we need to have the courage as communities to be saying, we've done some good work, we've made some progress, and this is what it looks like now. It doesn't look like the Grim Reaper. It doesn't look like the fear and the scale of mass death that we saw in the 90s. But we do have a problem now, and we have the opportunity to do something about it. And I think there is an act of courage that's required to update that story for the public and for decision makers. But I think it's a necessary act, particularly if we're going to tackle stigma. You know, the real burden of stigma that continues to attach to HIV because of some of those legacy understandings and associations with AIDS and the Grim Reaper.
Daryl O'Donnell from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, thanks for sharing your thoughts on AIDS 2016 on World Wide Wave.
My pleasure, Matt.
And so important that Australia has representation at conferences like this. I tend to think, I don't know, in my mind we've kind of gone a little bit... We used to be right at the forefront, right, when AIDS was an incredible epidemic issue in the 80s. We were really far out and I guess respected by a lot of the world for the work that was being done. I don't know. I think the accelerator's come off that a bit. And as much as we've got groups like AFAO and VAC, Victorian AIDS Council here in Victoria, doing great work, I just think that some of that urgency has gone.
I think even AFAO and VAC would agree that there isn't enough focus on the work they are doing from governments and from other organisations. I mean, Daryl spoke earlier and mentioned that there are 17 million people who have no access to treatment for HIV. That's outrageous. Now, I expect that probably because not many of them are in Australia, that's why it's fallen off the radar a little bit.
But I would say that Australia has a regional responsibility for our region in particular, but also as a first world country. I mean, we are more capable of delivering and exploring and investing into more treatments and preventions and cures.
I completely agree, but politically helping other countries that may not be as wealthy as us is not very popular at the moment. And in fact,
all has politics not, is local.
Exactly, has not been for a long time. So I think now more than ever, it's going to be hard to argue or hard to successfully convince the powers that be that they need to contribute more to other countries that have less than us.
I think also when we hosted AIDS 2014 here, there was so much government impetus, government goodwill. There were various announcements made. It was so much in the spotlight. The politicians wanted to be there too. Now that's moved away. Perhaps there's a little bit less interest, less support.
It's the latest hot new thing, I suppose, or it was at the time. So it's cynical, but there is an element of that, I suppose. It's a shame.
And a message in from Florence about her sister who uses our show as a part of her educational lessons, saying she's discerning with her lessons. Hope it's okay. We love it. We love it, Florence. We really do. Thank you for listening and thank you for sharing that with people. I think one of the other things we also know is through the internet, we have lots of people around the world who access us through our podcasts or online at joy.org/worldwidewave. And in fact, if you follow us on Facebook, Dean, you do a great job on this. You post news stories from all around the world right throughout the week. So you really are able to stay up to date with what's happening in the LGBTI world.
What? I was too busy looking at my phone. What were you saying? I'm looking at my phone now.
You just keep looking. This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, this is Anastasia from the Sabalt organization, Russia on the Worldwide Wave.
A big thank you to Daryl O'Donnell, CEO of AFAO, Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, for being our lovely guest tonight.
You can find out more about AFAO's work at afao.org.au. On Facebook, lots of action throughout the week. Liz, Kun, Jay, Mark, Greg, and a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on Facebook. You can follow us, W3Joy, Worldwide Wave, W3Joy, on Facebook.
Absolutely. All the wonderful SMSs that we received. Thanks to our podcaster, Mark. The lovely Gordon at the front desk again, dealing with all those calls. What song are we finishing up with?
This time we're finishing with Queen. And the show must go on.
As always. We did hear a bit of Freddie Mercury earlier as well, so wonderful.
Our show will go on next week, same time, Worldwide Wave. Abandoned places,
I guess we know. Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.